Ahmed El Radi and Sara Mansour are co-founders of the Bankstown Poetry Slam, the largest poetry slam in Australia. And Ahmed is just about to be named Creative Artist of the Year at the 8th Annual Australian Muslim Achievement Awards. He's just ducked out of the awards ceremony to have a chat to us. Congratulations in advance.
Oh, thanks, Jess. How's it going?
Good. So, Ahmed, what exactly is slam poetry?
Yeah, slam poetry is basically performance poetry. It's just poetry you construct. It's your original. You know, you have a platform to perform it in a certain time limit. Our slam has a three-minute time limit. And then after that, the judges are the actual audience, but it's very friendly. And, so that's what slam poetry is.
Is it sort of emceeing? Is it rap? Or is it straight poetry reading?
We have no actual limitations. If you would like to do a rap, then go for it. If you would like to read an essay, go for it. If you would like to just do prose poetry, go for it. If you would just like to do spoken word,
And how many people do you generally have coming along?
Yeah, we usually have about 300 people every time we hold this. And we give the floor to 20 people at a time, and they just, take us out for the whole night. And it's just a great environment to be in.
Sara Mansour, poetry nights are pretty rare in Australia's capital cities and even rarer in the suburbs. What were you expecting when you first started it?
To be honest, Ahmed and I anticipated probably about 30 people to show up to the first one, but we tried our best to drive it through social media, mainly Facebook, and on the first night we got about 80 people. We were really surprised.
And so why do you think there's so much interest?
Because there's nothing like it in the suburbs in Western Sydney. It's the first of its kind. So mainly all the events that happen are kind of towards the city and the eastern suburbs. And we felt like there was really a need in the suburbs for something like this.
Were you surprised that there were so many closeted poets in the western suburbs just waiting for an outlet?
Oh my gosh, just the people that come up and the caliber of their pieces, it just amazes us that someone like, that can be like a typical, gangster or whatever would start, reciting love poetry and really barrel out for the spectators.
Who goes along to the events and what do they generally write about? What are the most popular themes?
There's a lot about politics. A lot about love, religion, family, identity. All those themes are really central and recurring.
Is there any performance that stood out for you this year?
Yeah, actually, there was one performance. It basically got everyone in the room crying. It was a girl and she was talking about domestic violence, but she was subjected to it by her stepmother. And something that she's never told anyone before, she told a room full of strangers, and everyone was just moved to tears.
Wow, and how was she after that? Because I imagine that's just an enormous thing to do in front of a room full of people.
Yeah, she describes it kind of like as therapy, and a lot of people do, they say that they wait for it from month to month because you've got a room full of people just waiting to listen to you and to cheer you on and support you. So she said that it was like, something that she was relieved to get off her chest.
Do you write anything yourself?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, definitely.
What do you write about?
I've got a few poems. One where I'm talking about keyboard warriors on Facebook and whatnot. I've got some about family, my grandmother, my father, politics as well, love, definitely like anything that just is relative to me.
Do you know anything off the top of your head? I'd love to hear one of your poems.
Yeah, they're quite long. They're about 2 minutes, but I can read you and I can recite an excerpt from one of my favourite ones, if you like.
That would be great.
Okay. I pray for a regenesis of human benevolence, like the dawn of a new morning where on foreign shorelines we can forgive ourselves for past misdeeds and war crimes. I pray for the ability to look in the mirror and then reflect on our souls so that the earth can finally kick back and go into cruise control. I pray that in the Middle East, the hand of providence ceases to be the fist of governance, where religion is kindness and random acts are not seen as blindness. I pray and act out what I want to see, and I'll do that by citing the Arab Spring within me.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Sara. Ahmed El Radi, do you write yourself?
Yeah, I do, actually. As pompous as it may sound, I would like to call myself a poet. I made it to the state finals 2012 and 2013, and also the Poetry World Cup. of 2013.
The Poetry World Cup, where was that held?
That was held at Nimbin Poetry World Cup. And so, yeah, I was a finalist. So there's about 100 poets and you just, yeah, it was the finals were made up of 10 people.
So it's like the Olympics of world poetry.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny as that sounds, you know, people cheering for poetry. It's just amazing.
It is amazing, and it's good to hear that there's more and more of it happening because poetry did look for a little while to be a dying art.
And that's the thing. I mean, Poetry Slam, as it may have a name that, you know, from the academic world may be sort of frowned upon or not given seriously, but poetry was made to be performed and said out loud. There's a snobbery with art, and it shouldn't be that. It's just an expression. And once you sort of, you know, put limitations on expression, then you kind of lost that and just becomes some sort of elitist.
Mm. And the Poetry Slam that you do in Bankstown, is it particularly for the Muslim community?
See, no, that's a very good question because that was one of the early questions we kept getting asked. It's actually open to everyone, and there are religious poems, but then that's with every slam, and just because it's in Bankstown, it has this stigma that it's only a Muslim poetry slam, and that's further from the truth as possible. We have people from all over Sydney come in. We actually had two carloads from Newcastle came in the other time, so yeah, so it just shows the diversity of it.
Now, you've got a poem that you're going to recite to us tonight.
Yeah.
What's that poem called and what is it about?
Yeah, that poem's called Dear Grandmother, and it's dedicated to my grandmother who was battling cancer at the time, and sort of right now she's in remission. She was in a coma, and it's just I had so many questions I needed to ask her. Just, you know, God forbid something would have happened. So I wrote this poem for her and sort of performed it when she, thank God, thankfully woke up over Skype and stuff like that. That's how we used to converse. She lived in Iraq, and yeah, so it's a very, very personal poem.
Beautiful, Ahmed. Well, please, take it away.
Yep, go on. Dear Grandmother, during our daily two-hour Skype conversations, I asked you about those hand-pricked tattoos that adorned your face and your limbs. You said the Bedouin women couldn't afford luxuries like nice garments or jewelry, so when it came time to wed, they hummed hymns and decorated their skin with sharp pins and hand-pricked tattoos in the shape of roses and necklaces to show off their bodies to their husbands on their wedding night. They called it the poor people's jewelry. Grandmother, truth is, I've never met my grandfather. But whenever you speak of him, your eyes widen like football fields. Your withered cheeks blush rosy red. Your smile fills the room like forgotten curtains on a summer morning. You tell stories of him as your lips break free from the shackles of repressed memories and your wall collapses, relapses, elapses, synapses, snapping connections too quick for your thoughts to catch up to you. I catch you daydreaming. You place your open palm on my right cheek and bring me closer to you as your chin cuddles my forehead. And the salty remnants of your teardrops travel that oh-so-familiar downward stream. Grandmother, I know he must have been a good, good man. See, I know cemeteries that have more life than what we share. With every riff and every breath, may God bless those scars that tore your chest. When those hospital lights claimed your breath, when those beauty-spotted sores upon your skin camouflaged as pores to let hope in a country where suicide is a season in springtime, when your nights are spent sleepless and your days are plagued with pretentious advice like time heals all wounds. Well, I'ma give time, and I'ma draw clocks on these cuts as band-aids and pin both hands at 12 so my prayers can be on time for a change. Grandmother, you give me the language to speak my identity for the first time, and I have a list of questions I want to ask you, like, did you really walk them to school 3 miles every day and back, and how did you feed 9 kids with 3 loaves of bread every day, in fact, every blink, a moment to capture your own history? Grandmother, how did you cope when your sons were treated like unmarked cargo, nameless, as they latched onto steel rods of sails pressed against their flesh, tore through obese oceans made do with fragile boats that resembled broken bones of those that couldn't make it, held together by a prayer. Grandmother, can I borrow your patience? For your heart must be a coal mine by now. And I know there are no t-shirts for this, and this isn't a lame excuse to get some applause for a poem. I know your face still. Do you know mine? And that's it.
Wow.
Sorry.
Oh. That's really moving. I mean, your grandmother must be just so proud of you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you sharing that with us tonight, and congratulations for what you've achieved.
Thank you for actually supporting these causes. It means a lot to us.